Yeah, food court. Well, I'll teach them. It's like stopping at Florence and Main Street to eat at a Garoche show coach.
Amen. Sounds good.
You go back and say, I'm going to sue you. You food poison me. They're going, here's the $9.50. That's all you get.
That's the new website, right?
Yes.
Huh? Oh, yes.
Okay, we're live.
We're live?
Yeah, don't forget.
All right. Huh?
Your microphone.
Oh, what is it called? Microphone.
You're supposed to tell us we're live way before.
Oh, no, because she can't tell you you're live way before. I would be lying. Okay. All right, pray us in. My brother,
sir,
Ryan, the Salt Crew King.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening, and we thank you, God, for the truth of your word that we're going to hear tonight. Lord, we thank you for Pastor Sandy. We thank you for the word that you put in his heart to share with us tonight. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would go forth and help us to understand and hear what we're about to hear. Lord, we pray for the salvation of our loved ones, the salvation of our friends, families, co-workers. Give us the boldness and the courage to share with them the truth about what's to happen soon.
Yes.
Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, that we have a blessed hope. Father, we praise you. Lord, as the world is falling apart, as the world is seeking to build back better, Lord, we're seeking to go home to a most perfectly built kingdom. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We praise you. Anoint this message tonight. May it go forth and produce fruit for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Shalom, everybody. Are we all around the world? Did you get the microphone turned around the other way? Okay, if you are tuning in, you should have this Bible study, because this is the Bible study we're going to go over today. And then we'll go over the last generation study tomorrow, because this is very important if we are to stay on course and not have other people take us away from what the Bible has already taught us. Amen. Okay? Before we do, I'm going to just turn my Bible and make sure I'm at Leviticus chapter 25. And if you have your Bible, you can make sure you're at Leviticus chapter 25, just in case I need to go back there. Okay. Numbers, Leviticus chapter 25. Perfect. Okay, because eventually I'm going to read some things about the Jubilee there. We are at a very pivotal point in Bible prophecy. And we're at a very pivotal point because so many prophecies have already happened, and by those prophecies already have come to pass and have already happened, it gives us confidence in where we are today, okay? So we can't have someone come in, like I told you guys, if we go past 2021, I don't have another story. You understand? There is no other prophecy that we can go to that we can say, well, let's look at the 90-year prophecy, and let's look at the, you know, if there's no, the way it has all happened in these last days is perfect and in line with all of history, and all of prophecy has lined up perfectly in these last days so that we could have confidence. And this is what has been the job that God has given me, to make these prophecies and what has happened plain to the body of Christ so that you can know that you're dealing with God and you can know that what you're dealing with is truth, okay?
Amen.
It doesn't matter how many times somebody tries to bring up a new lie. I am so thankful that I am, and I can't say well studied, I say God has given me so much information that it's very hard for someone to lie to me because of the information that God has given me. And God makes sure that he always gives me biblical information to show why we're in the situations that we're in, right?
Amen.
Okay. Now, I want you guys to know and understand this thing, okay? God has been counting time in increments of 50s. Those 50 counts are called jubilees, okay? So whenever there's a jubilee, it is counted. There is even a gospel, a Bible, or a written scripture called the Book of Jubilee. And I spent, we're flying to Florida then? I spent 4 hours on that flight reading the Book of Jubilee, trying to see if it's accurate and perfect and on course. And they were counting the jubilees in perfect sequence so that you know that God is counting time in 50-year increments. That's important because when he brings about the prophecy, you've got to know that was God, okay? Now, I'm going to read Leviticus chapter 28, okay? And it gives us an example of a jubilee. It says, count off 7 Sabbaths of years, 7 times 7, so that the 7th Sabbath of the year amounts to a period of 49. Then have a trumpet sound everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout the land, consecrate the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants. So every 50th year becomes a jubilee, okay? That Israel is supposed to keep. Now, I want us to know and understand a guy by the name of Rabbi Judah ben Samuel. He lived from 1140 to 1217, okay? This is gonna be get really good in a little while, so you guys please make sure you understand. Because if you understand Rabbi Judah ben Samuel's prophecy, it really should blow your mind because he gave the prophecy in what year? 1217, when he was about to die. He gives this prophecy about the future jubilees. And so he gives it in 1217. We're going to read, so I hope you have your paper in front of you. And it says, it was in the year 1217 CE, or we call it AD, that one of Judah's most legendary, prolific German Hasidic rabbis made an astounding prediction about the future of Jerusalem and the coming of the Messiah, known as Judah ben Samuel. Okay, I'm going to go to, it says, born in Spire on 1140, Rabbi ben Judah died February 22nd, 1217. Remember that, okay? Now, Rabbi Judah ben Samuel, this is prophecy. When the Ottoman Turks were already in power to be reckoned with on the Bosporus in the time of Judah ben Samuel, conquered Jerusalem, they will rule over Jerusalem for 8 jubilees. Afterward, Jerusalem will become no man's land for 1 jubilee. And then in the 9th jubilee, it will once again come back in the possession of the Jewish nation, which would signify the beginning of the messianic end time. You hear that? So here is a man giving a prophecy on his, not on, I wouldn't say on his deathbed, but he died in 1217, and in 1217 is when he gave the prophecy. Okay, so he says, the Ottoman Turks are going to come and they're going to take possession of Jerusalem. Let's read this. Well, 8 jubilees would be 50 years, 50 years times 8. So for 400 years, that's what he's saying, because he's saying that the Turks are going to rule over Jerusalem for 800 years. I mean, for 400 years and 8 jubilees. It says, we know again by history that the Ottoman Turks gained control in the year 1517. Very important. And held power over Jerusalem for 400 years when they were conquered in 1917 by the British military force under the command of British military general Edmund Allenby on Hanukkah, December 17, 1917. The Ottoman Turks began to falter in 1918 and after the defeat of the army at Jerusalem. Okay, the city of Damascus fell on October 1st. No. Okay, so what I want you to know is this. Rabbi Ben Judah said the Turks would be in control of Jerusalem for 8 jubilees, so that's 400 years. The history tells you the Turks took over Jerusalem in 1517, and in 1917, they had the Balfour Accord, okay? And General Allenby goes in and he drops these leaflets and they win back Jerusalem. And he declares on that day that we're going to give this land back to the Jewish people, Jerusalem. Okay? So now, since that prophecy came true in the exact 400 years, he says now for the next Jubilee, he said from that time, it will be called no man's land. So that means that the British took back Jerusalem, declared that they were going to give it to Jews, the Balfour Accord. Then they reneged and said, we're not going to give it to you. So nobody moved into Jerusalem. It belonged to the British, but no one lived there. So it was called no man's land for 1 jubilee, which is what Rabbi Ben Judah said. But he said, after that, the Jews will take possession of Jerusalem and it will be back in the hands of the Jews. So after 1917, for the next 50 years, it was no man's land. Then, here it is, okay. Then the prophecy continued when it states, I'm at the bottom paragraph. After Jerusalem will become no man's land for 1 jubilee. So from 1917 to 1967, no one was there, okay? It says, is it not amazing that from 1917, with the British mandate, controlled the city of Jerusalem? Jerusalem did become under the international law, and it was called exactly what Ben Judah said. They called it no man's land, okay? It says it was 50 years after 1917 that the Israeli army captured the city of Jerusalem in the Six-Day War on June 17th, 1967. So now Jerusalem was back in the hands of the Jewish people. You see that? So exactly one Jubilee 50 years later, Jerusalem returned for the first time in control of the of Israel and ownership of Jerusalem in 1967, and they hadn't had it since 70 AD. But here is Rabbi Ben Judah telling you this is how it's going to happen. But he tells it to you in 1217. The 400 years is over in 1917, Balfour Accord. Then 1967, like he says, they get the land back. Then the next Jubilee, remember, here, I was trying to find this in. All land gets returned to the original owner. If you read Leviticus chapter 25, one of the rules of the Jubilee is that all land gets returned to the rightful owner. So Jerusalem was returned to them in 1917. Then they reneged on it, and it was no man's land. Then 50 years later, they captured Jerusalem, and now they were ownership of it, which he says this is going to bring about the messianic ending. And now in 2017, it's a Jubilee again. So someone has to declare that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. And who does it? President Trump. So, let's go to page two. It says here, Trump recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital, announced that the U.S. embassy would be moved, and they moved it from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And they had a fit that day. It says, this is nothing more or less than a recognition of reality, the president says. Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, right? He does this on 12/5/2017, 6 days before Hanukkah, okay? And so now you have the 120th Jubilee, because 2017 was also the 6,000th year of mankind. So you had, and 120 times 50 is 6,000, okay? I have a 6,000 year count that is very accurate, and I've challenged every scholar to look at it and to make sure that it's accurate, and it's 100% accurate. Isn't it incredible that Jesus was born in 3,983 and a lamb, and he's not even qualified to be a lamb until the 4,000th year. So Jesus was 17 when the 4,000th year came. This 17 keeps popping up. Ben Judah gives he doesn't give the prophecy in a year, he gives it in the year 1217. So who's controlling that what he said in 1217, eight Jubilees pass by, and then all of a sudden they get Jerusalem back. And then they renege. Now, if they would have gave it to him and they moved in, the prophecy wouldn't have been fulfilled. But they reneged and say, no, we're not going to give it to you. And they just controlled it, and it was called no man's land because no one was there. Okay? Then in 1967, just like Rabbi Ben Judah said, now they're going to take it back, and they're going to have full possession of Jerusalem. Okay?
Yeah.
So I got excited when Trump did that, because I knew in 2017 that someone had to declare Jerusalem. I thought Christ is going to come, rapture the church, and then somebody will come in 2017 and declare Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. And then that's how it would happen. But Trump did it in the 120th Jubilee. He did it. Now, if 2017 was the 120th Jubilee, when will be the next Jubilee? 50 years later, which would be what? 2067, right? Now, Is it possible that we could have a jubilee in 2025?
No.
No?
Is it?
No, it's impossible.
Right. And that's what's 26.
That means you're making up your own jubilees.
Right.
This is what Tom Horn and Josh Beck are doing, and Josh Peck are doing. They're saying, oh, the next jubilee is going to last from 2025 to 2075. And they wrote these books, these two books, and I think no Christian should read it, because it what happens is they say, we're right, and all of history has been wrong. 1967 is wrong, 1917 is wrong, and the next jubilee is going to be 2025. And they're on a Christian network, and they're explaining how this calendar they found showed them that the next jubilee is going to be in 2025. Okay. That would be bad enough, because you could just say, you're wrong. Here's Rabbi Judah's prophecy. This is how it happened. The last jubilee was 2017. Jerusalem was declared to belong to the Jews. And so it has been accurate since 1217. For you to come forth and say there's going to be a new jubilee in 2025 is ridiculous, no matter what calendar you found in Quran or wherever you found it, because it goes against scripture and against history. You understand? Now they say, he says, mankind will enter the last age in 2025. So they're saying that the rapture is going to happen in 2025. So now if that happens, then the last generation would have to be 7 years later in 1932, right? So let me explain to you. When you find information and you want to write a book, because if you're making your money writing books, you've got to come up with the next big thing.
Right.
And this book called Zeitgeist 2025 is just a book trying to tell people that the history that we've already experienced, because if Israel is born in 1948, that means that according to 2 Kings 25 verse 8, 19 years later they have to get Jerusalem, which would be their jubilee and the end of the punishment. So all of history has played out perfectly. We just saw the 120th jubilee, and now someone is coming and saying, oh, we've discovered that everything's going to start in 2025. Okay. Mankind will enter the last age in 2025. Oh, then wormwood will hit the earth in 2029. He had a vision that wormwood is going to hit. No, and it's not just the vision that a comet was coming or a star was coming to hit the earth. He got 2029 from what he says these secret agent services that are looking at the comet and what's the thing and they've seen it and it's headed toward earth, and they say it's going to hit the earth in 2029. So he's running with this, but this is not biblical. Okay, we'll see how this is not biblical. Let's go to, let's see. Let's read Revelation chapter 8. Watch this. We're going to just start read chapter 8. And we'll see where we're at here. It says, when we open the seventh seal, okay, so chapter 8 starts with the seventh seal. The seventh seal is the end of the tribulation. Did you guys know that? That means the tribulation is almost over because it's the seventh seal. Seal 1 introduces the Antichrist, then the famines, then everything, and then the middle of the tribulation, and then all of these things, and then you see the saints in heaven, and how long before the rest of us who have been martyred, how long do we have to wait under the altar? And he says, till the rest of those who are martyred are like you have arrived. So we're in the seventh seal. We're at the end of the tribulation. Okay, and I'll prove it to you. Okay, and it says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw seven angels who stand before God, and to them was given seven trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer and stood at the altar, he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hands. Okay, the angel took the censer filled with fire from the altar and hurled it to the earth. What just happened there? Listen to me, you guys. If you are a Bible student, you have to know the Bible so that you can teach it. Tom Horn is not a Bible student. He's a researcher. The guy, what's his name? Josh Peck is not a Bible teacher. But they're doing this research, and now they're going to give you a whole scenario that is completely opposite of all the history and all the prophecy that we've already seen. Okay? And then people are supposed to jump on this and say, oh, there's not going to be a rapture till 2025. Then what's going to happen with us who don't want to take the shot and la da 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 da? Because we need to know the Bible better so that people can't lie to us. I'm sitting there watching. I'm just like, God, what is this? He's like, it's ridiculous is what it is. It is ridiculous. But now, what we just saw there was the angel going into the temple to grab incense and put the incense on the altar to create a fire and a smoke. Why? Who's coming back on a cloud? Christ. So what you're seeing is they're in heaven preparing for Jesus to return. They're creating the cloud and throwing it to the earth because Jesus is going to come on the cloud so that he can bring judgment on those who deserve it. And since he's in the cloud and it hides his form, those who he don't want to judge, he doesn't have to judge.
Right.
Okay? But he is coming on a cloud. The cloud has to be formed. This is a prophecy from Leviticus because two young men went into the temple to talk to God. And they forgot to make a cloud. And they, as soon as they walked in and said, hey, Lord, they poof, hit the ground. And God said, okay, new rule here. Could you tell Moses to come in here or not? I got to talk to him. Tell the people, before you come in here, the presence, my presence is in the altar, on the mercy seat. If you see me, you die. Tell them to take incense from the thing, put it on the altar, because they go into the temple only once a year at Yom Kippur. Before you come in here, put incense on the altar, make a cloud, so when they come in, they don't see my presence, and then they won't die when they walk in here. You understand? So Jesus says, you will see the Son of Man coming back on a cloud, not to show off. He's coming back on a cloud because he wants to be able to judge who he wants and protect who he wants, okay? Here in Revelation chapter 8, is a Yom Kippur service taking place in heaven because Jesus is about to return. And so the trumpet judgments are what? All the judgment that's coming on the earth before Jesus returns. Because remember, after the trumpets, there's going to be bowls that are going to be poured out. Yes. This is a lot of judgment coming in a short period called the 10 days of awe.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it says, then the angel took the censers and filled it with fire from the altar and hurled it to the earth. And there came peals of thundering and rumblings and flashes of lightning, and the earth quakes. And then in verse 6, it says, then the angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. The third of the earth was burnt up. A third of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain ablaze was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea turned to blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and the springs of water. The name of that star is Wormwood. So he's saying, this is what I saw. I saw wormwood falling. Well, if you saw wormwood falling, that was at the end of the tribulation. That wasn't in 2025. And if it's in 2029, it's a year late, unless Jesus wasn't telling us the truth about the last generation. Huh? But 2029 is a year late. So now, how can Jesus return in 2028 and wormwood not happen till 2029?
Oh.
You see what the ridiculous thing of just writing the book, not thinking about the framework of the scriptures and what the Bible says concerning a matter. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah.
So all of this is being written with no respect for the prophecies that have happened, and no respect for the prophecy that Jesus made concerning the last generation. Okay. Before I go to Luke chapter 20, chapter 21, I want you to see this guy on the other page here, okay? Because Mondo, I like you. I saw when J.R. Church, I mean, when Gary Strierman gave you the show, and God put you in a very unique and awesome position to be able to be the head of a show called The Prophecy Watchers, okay? This is a big responsibility. On your, the people that built that place that you stand on the shoulders are Gary Stearman, J.R. Church, okay? People like Chuck Missler, who they associated with, and who's the guy who did the gematria, the original guy? I'll think of his name in a minute. But these were biblical scholars. They studied the Bible so that they would know how to answer. So after this show, they asked him a question. The generation that sees the desolation, this is what, wait a minute, he says, what, when is the last generation? That was the question. If I don't know the answer to something, what do I always say? I'll study it out and I'll get back to you later. I wish he would have did this on this question, because he didn't know, but he started trying to blurt out stuff that was incorrect, okay? So he says, well, you know, the last generation, some people says when it begins, maybe we shouldn't be looking for when it begins. And he says, but he says, the last generation actually begins when the abomination of desolation occurs.
Really?
Then he's kind of froze and said, wait a minute. He said, that would be the middle of the tribulation. So then he's kind of stopped and said, well, I just said that the last generation. So he kind of tried to back up. Then he said it again. Yeah, the last generation. This is what Jesus was talking about. The last generation, those who see the abomination of desolation, that will be the last generation. If you see the abomination of desolation, you miss the rapture. And there's only 3.5 years left in the tribulation before everything's over. So it does not begin the last generation. When you say last generation, you're talking about a 70-year period and 80, which has been given to Israel to deal with their disobedience. Okay. Then he says, okay, so could you tell us how long is a generation? And he starts saying, well, some people say 40, and then some people say 70, and then some people say 70 plus 10, which is 80, which is what the scripture. So I'm thinking he starts talking about some other people said 42, and some people are saying it's 120. But to tell you the truth, I don't think God wants us to know when the last generation is. Then I went, I'm saying, see, the best way to answer a question that you don't know, zip it and say, I don't know. I'll get back to you after I study. When we study the last generation tomorrow, and I've done this study before, you will see that the last generation has been marked out since Genesis. Okay? When 1948 and the fig tree happened, God knew when the last generation would occur. This is why when it happens, he says the words, the Lador HaAcheron, in the terminal generation. When you see Israel happen, tell this to the terminal generation, to the last and final generation, okay? So we do know when the last generation is. It's not a guess. Nobody's guessing 40 and guessing 110, or is it 42? Jesus does want us to know when the last generation, because he wants us to know the season that we're in, okay?
Amen.
Let me think. How long is it? Here's, now watch this. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 36, this is what Jesus says to the Pharisee. Verily I say unto you, all these things will come upon this generation. He said, you who have killed the prophets, okay? He says, look at your temple. He says, it is made desolate. He says, all this will come upon this generation. This temple will be destroyed and every stone will be turned over. Jesus says, this generation is going to see that. Tomorrow, when we look at it, the generation means the nativity from his birth to that time. So from Jesus' birth to the time of 70 AD was the end of that generation. So, and then, but 70 doesn't begin there. 70 begins in Genesis. And then as we go all the way through, we see now it's 70 here, and then we see the input of the 80 because of disobedience, okay? So we know that we're living in the last generation. The Bible tells us that we're living in the last generation. There is no reason for anyone to say we don't know. Otherwise, 1948 was an accident. 1967 was an accident. 2017 was an accident. The 400 years that the Ottoman Turks owned Jerusalem was an accident, even though it was prophesied in 1217. You understand? What we have is the confidence of prophecy of what the Bible is telling us when we're in the last days and when the last generation is. Otherwise, I can't preach this strong.
Right.
Because it's already been done. Okay. Let's go to Luke chapter 21.
15 minutes.
Hallelujah.
Luke 21.
Luke chapter 21. Prophecy Watchers, Gary Stearin, I don't know how they got him out of there, but man, please bring him back. That guy was a Bible teacher. J.R. Church, I'm glad he's in heaven. He's not in his grave. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, but if he was in his grave, he would have turned over on some of that information. Okay. We're in Luke chapter 21, and I think we're going to start in verse 20. I'm making sure. I don't want to do my own thing. Yep, Luke chapter 21, and we're going to start reading at verse 20. It says, "When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city, for this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written." Okay? So, he says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, why are these armies surrounding Jerusalem right now? This is the middle of the tribulation. Remember, he says, when you see this, flee. Because this is going to be the middle of the tribulation. Get out of there. Don't go back for anything, okay? So he's talking about the middle of the tribulation. This is when this guy says the last generation will start, okay? Then he says, in verse 22, "For this is the time of their punishment, the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be for those in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people." Who? What people? Israel. Remember, the Antichrist is going to pour out a flood against Israel, okay? "They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming upon the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand and lift up your head, Israel, Jerusalem, because your redemption draws nigh." You understand? The middle of the tribulation is the attack against the nation of Israel. The attack against the nation of Israel. He says, when you see this, the abomination of desolation that Daniel talked about, That means the Antichrist walking into the temple and declaring that he's God. When you see this, flee.
Yeah.
Then he says, there will be great distress at this time. Why? You're in the great tribulation. Yeah. Then you're going to see all these signs. And he says, now when you see this, you will know that your redemption, Israel, your redemption is near. Where's the church? The church is already in heaven. Now, not once while they were talking about these books did they mention the rapture. So I'm thinking, what are they thinking? That God forgot about the wedding? What's going on here? Here we go. Verse 29. Now, the Greek is so beautiful because now it uses a word to say, let's talk about another subject now, okay? And we did a study on that word, but here it is. It says, he told them this parable. Look at the fig tree. In all the trees, the fig tree is Israel. What's all the trees? All the other nations in the world. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Listen. He goes into the subject of the fig tree. Now he says, this generation, what generation? The generation concerning the fig tree. Now, you say, well, how can you confirm that? Because I want to go line upon line, precept upon precept, so that we can know that he's saying that this fig tree is the last generation. How can we know that? Here, let's finish reading this before. It says, be careful and be on, be careful or your heart will be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly. Can the middle of the tribulation close on them unexpectedly? Now he's talking about the fig tree generation. It's something that's going to happen. What? The rapture. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on watch and pray that you will be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Okay? This is the same as chapter 24 of Matthew, which we'll go over tomorrow. But now let's go to Psalms chapter 48. That's good enough. Psalms chapter 28. Psalms chapter 48, 19th book, 48th chapter. Remember, God wrote the book. He's situating it. He's trying to tell you plainly. What happened in Psalms 47? All the leaders of the world met and decided and made a decision for the people of Abraham. UN got together and decided that Jerusalem, Israel, is going to be given back to the Jews. That's in Psalms 47. Psalms 48 is about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And it gives it to you detail by detail. They get it. Their enemies get together, join an army, five armies come against them, they attack, God fights the war, they win. Then he says, go look around the towers, look at everything, and so that the world can see what God has done. But then in verse 13, it says this, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon. And if you don't speak Hebrew, you would see and tell it to the next generation or tell it to the following generation. But this is why God told me, Because if I learn Hebrew, I can have a better understanding of Scripture. You understand? And so when I get to this, it doesn't say next. I know Haba is the next. It doesn't say following. It says the final, terminal generation. When you see the 19th book and the 48th chapter, 1948, and the rebirth of the nation of Israel, it says, go and tell it to the last generation. Now, we say, well, now we know that it's the last generation, but is it Israel? Is Israel the fig tree? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 24. See, if you're going to answer a question, study it first.
Right.
You guys, I'm not here to sell. You know what? I have a book, but I never tried to sell it. I am not here to sell books. I'm not here to try to get rich. I'm here to do only one thing, prepare my people to leave, right?
Yeah.
So once you start making the Bible your business, it will override your thinking.
Yeah.
You're trying to sell a book and you've totally disregarded the Bible.
Yeah.
2025 is the beginning of the tribulation. No, the beginning of the last generation. And the beginning of the last jubilee is 25 till 2075. I'm like, where'd you get this? Watch this. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 3. The Lord said, what do you see, Jeremiah? Figs, I answered. The good ones are very good, but the poor ones are so bad that they cannot be eaten. Then the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord says, the God of Israel. Like the good figs, I regard as good the exiles from Judah. Are those Jews? Yes. Whom I sent away from this place to the land of Babylon. You're talking about the Jews. My eyes will watch over them for their good, and I will bring them back to this land. So who's coming back? The figs. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and will not uproot them. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart.
Yes.
At the very end of this, he's saying, these people I sent away to Babylon, but I'm bringing them back to Israel. Who? The figs that you just saw. What do you see? Figs. Oh, figs is Judah. Okay? Here, let's finish reading this. It says, but like the poor figs, he's still talking about figs, which are so bad they cannot be eaten, says the Lord, I will deal with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his officials, and the survivors from Jerusalem. So he says, I'm going to deal with Jerusalem as well. Whether they remain in the land or live in Egypt, I will make them abhorrent and an offense to all kingdoms of the earth, a reproach and a byword, an object of ridicule and cursing. Wherever I banish them, I will send the sword and famine and plagues against them until they are destroyed from the land I gave to them and their fathers. So, God is announcing that he has made a judgment against Israel. He sent them away. He makes the statement here, they're figs, but I'm going to bring them back. And when I bring them back, they're going to be my people once again. But he starts the whole thing off by, oh, what do you see, Jeremiah? Figs. Listen, it is no accident that Adam and Eve covers themselves with fig leaves.
Right.
He's been talking about this. A people is going to try, a people, disobedient people, are going to try to cover their own sins.
Yep.
Israel,
yep.
Figs, fig tree, 1948, 1967, Jubilee. 2017, Jubilee. How can you have another Jubilee in 2025 when they last for 50 years? So that's why I was just sitting there and I was like, Lord, I was saying, Lord, how do I do this? Because I respect Tom Horn. He's a great researcher. He's just not a Bible teacher. I don't know the pet guy. I don't know what he's doing with the lost things of Quran. And they're saying, oh, the essence calendar proves that this and the essence calendar and the essence are the most accurate. They predicted the birth of Christ and when he would die. They didn't do that. The Bible did that.
Right.
The Bible predicted when Christ would come, when he would die on a cross. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to 29 tells you that he'll be cut off. And it says also that the beginning of that will be when they give them the issue to go and rebuild the temple. So you can count from the issue in Nehemiah all the way to the birth of Christ. And you know when he's going to be born and you know when he's going to die. And so these essences are they're saying we found their calendar and they showed us so many extra miracles and mysteries.
Right.
You can't use it if it goes against the Bible. Okay. There is no Jubilee 2025. And 2025 does not begin the last generation. And 2025 is not the rapture. Otherwise, when Jesus says, this generation will not pass until all these things happen. What's all these things? You will see me returning on a cloud at the end of this generation. All these things will happen before this generation is over. So now the only thing we have is the fact that Jesus said it. And the first time Jesus said it, he said, 70 years, temples destroyed, every stone turned over. Read Josephus. They turned over every stone. They recovered all the gold. Jesus already knew that. Jesus says, hey, Lord, when will the end be and when will all these things happen? And he breaks it down for them step by step. Nations will rise against nation. When did that happen? 1914. And then once again, what? But look, in 1914, the first world war happens, and it happens on the 9th of Av. So that means it's completely connected to Israel, right? We're not going to disregard the Bible because you wrote a book and you found a mysterious calendar that tells you that, and if the wormwood, and if 2028 is the end of the 80 years, if the wormwood hits in 2029, that means Jesus is on earth.
Right.
The church is back. And then now we got to repent and we got to cry out and say, Jesus, there's a rock coming at us. It's like you can't readjust history and you can't readjust the Bible because you wrote a book. All right. Do not read them. Okay. Praise God. We'll get into the last generation tomorrow and we'll go through it from Genesis and you'll see why 1948 is the pivotal year, always has been since the day Eve sinned. Okay. All right. Praise God.